this morning, and I do see a lot of familiar faces. I think it's been maybe 20 years since we moved. I thought maybe there would be more that I would not know, but there is a lot that I do know. So it's good to see you all, and look forward to what the Word has for us this morning. I've been doing a series of messages out of Proverbs, and a lot of good things in Proverbs, a lot of verses that have contrasts in them, and it's been pretty interesting, you know, for us to do that. And so this morning, that's again, kind of a base. My text verse will be out of Proverbs, but we will need to look at a lot of other scriptures or some other scriptures to help out in the message. I've entitled the message "Reasonable Giving," and you know, we sang that song, the first one here before the message, and it says something about Christ gave all, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the words. He gave all to us, rich gifts, and what do we have to bring to Him? Kind of goes with the message of giving. We can give not only money, and we can give time, we can give our talents, what we're good at doing, a lot of different things we can bring and give to God or Christ as He would have us, as we help out in the church and in our world today. So I like to think about reasonable giving. Now, that title is only to get us thinking. It is reasonable that we give. Okay, that's the title this morning. Why is that? And I might come back to that kind of in the end or the closing. Why would it be reasonable that we would bring or give our gifts, whatever we would want to do, bring? Why would that be reasonable to give back to God? And so I would, obviously, this the word reasonable gets, there's a scripture in Romans 12 that we'll recognize. I'll just read those two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2, as we get started. Then we'll turn to our text in Proverbs, okay? So I'm going to read the first two verses from Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in this scripture really doesn't tell us why it might be our reasonable service. And yet we probably could study that and get that out of there. But it says there that we have a reasonable service back to God. If you're born again this morning, there is a reasonable service. And so what is reasonable giving? Now, I'm not going to tell everyone how much they should give as we think about giving in the offering or giving of our time. God helps us in that. He helps us as we do that. Let's turn to our text this morning. Our text we'll find in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. And here again, we're going to Proverbs. And Proverbs mentions, the book of Proverbs mentions giving, maybe not tithing as such, but of giving. And I find these two verses here, and you'll recognize them, I'm sure, telling us to give. And obviously the children of Israel back in the Old Testament were commanded to give. And so some of the things we can hear today, and that is the thing with giving, and a lot of times we think of 10%, and some people will say, well, it wasn't really mentioned back in the New Testament that much. And, you know, did Jesus say anything about giving or giving 10% as we think of offerings and tithes? And so I wanted to, one of the things I wanted to do, and by the way, I preached this to our congregation back in Hillsdale, so this is not something just for you. This is an encouragement to us, right? I find that we need to be encouraged in giving sometimes, and I'm not saying you're not, because I don't know. I'm just saying for us and for me, the encouragement just to see in God's Word, some history, and also just the challenge of giving. So sometimes we say that the tithe, we hear these things, the tithing, the 10% was for the children of Israel back in the Old Testament, and maybe somehow Christ fulfilled that. And I'm not sure, I guess, about that, but it's not enforced in the New Testament. And somehow it was part of the Mosaic Law, or the law that Moses got received there from God on Mount Sinai. And so maybe it's not something that we have to do anymore. You know, as I think of, before we get into this scripture, so we think of giving, we think of helping the poor. The scripture talks about helping the poor. And I would like to rephrase that a little bit for us and just say helping those in need. Those in need. You know, there can be a rich person has a flat tire, and he might need, if he's beside the road there, he might have a need. So, okay, let's read our text here this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so we see there it is to honor the Lord that we do that. We're challenged to honor him with our substance, or with the things that we have, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And the first fruits, as we think of those, what those are usually the smallest or the biggest. You know, those are the nicest. If you go out and get the first tomatoes or the first ear of corn off that sweet corn stalk, a lot of times those are the biggest and the best. And the word says that we should honor him, honor the Lord with the first fruits. And that was one of the commands back in the law there that the children of Israel received. You know, why is it so hard to give? You ever think about that? And you ever have that happen? Maybe you don't. Some people are more giving than others. We know that. And I realize that. But, you know, I think people try and, not us, of course, try and find loopholes in taxes and also maybe in giving. Okay? And it's just one of those things we'd rather. Why is it? Well, it's because I think some parts of us are still the natural man, right? We're still human. We'd rather keep money. If we want to talk about money, we'd like to keep it more for ourselves. There's never enough money, right? And so how does that fit in? But I find that in talking with people who want to kind of say that we don't have to do tithes anymore, let's say, I find that behind that is more of a selfishness attitude. And so we need to recognize, you know, maybe we're dealing with a little bit of human nature here. There's some selfishness and maybe stinginess. We heard the word greed in our Sunday school lesson as one of the sins that we can deal with, greed there. And that all plays into this thing of tithing and offerings and alms. You know, back in the Old Testament, the tithing and the alms and the offerings, they had a couple of different functions, you might say. One was to keep the tabernacle going, to keep it furnished, and also to pay the Levites, the ones who worked there. They were to receive that help in that, and also helping the poor in that. And so I have 2 points this morning. And one of them would be, the first one, I guess, is we'll just look for a couple minutes here, how it was established in the Old Testament, in that Mosaic Law. I think that's helpful for us. I'm not saying that some of that applies to us today or not. I guess let's read the scripture and think about that. Our verse in verses here in Proverbs says that we're to honor. You know, it's interesting. Last Sunday's lesson had a great verse in there, in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Remember, God loveth a cheerful giver. Yeah, And that's a challenge for us to be cheerful when we do it, right? Sometimes it's out of necessity. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but God loves the cheerful giver. And, you know, we can see that in our children. If we think of obedience, it's much greater to have a child out of obedience to something that we've said to be cheerful about it, you know, and not to do the have to thing, you know. So anyhow, a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay. Let's look at a little bit at where it was given in the law. I have two scriptures. Deuteronomy. If you have your copy of the scriptures and want to follow along, that's the best. Deuteronomy 14. Let's read verses 22 through 29. And here is just simply where some of the law was that was tithing. But there's an important thing I want to pick up in here. And I think it's for us today in here. So Deuteronomy chapter 14, starting at verse 22. There's eight verses here I want to read. And maybe as we read these, I'll stop a time or two and just make a comment. Deuteronomy chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. I want to stop there. One of the reasons it mentions here that they were to tithe and to bring those things to God was that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Well, we find out and we know that humans are prone to forget. And if we're not constantly reminded, we will fall away. If you stay away from church too long, it's easy not to go back. Okay? We found that in COVID. A lot of churches did. And here it says that thou mayest learn to fear or to be in awe or to realize how God is blessed. And so as we come together, and maybe on Sunday mornings there's an offering taken up or however it's received, that is a reminder to us who God is and what he has given to us. And that's maybe a weekly thing. And so we need that constant reminder. I think that's one of the things that it teaches us and it helps us in. Okay, verse 24. And if the way be too long for thee, that thou so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine hand, or thine household. And I think he's just simply saying that if you have to travel far, you can sell what you were going to give, and you can buy it back when you get there. You don't have to make a lot of journey out of taking all these things. And verse 27, and the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithes of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. And just there in that last verse there, you know, it talks about the Levites, it talks about the stranger and the fatherless or the orphans and the widows. It's to help them. And so that's what the tithe was, and that's just some of the law that was given there, the commandment to do that. Leviticus chapter 27 yet here in the Old Testament, and actually we'll get back to the Proverbs here and look at some verses there. So Leviticus chapter 27, just like three verses there that I'd like to read. And so we talk about this tenth, the tenth, you know, 10%. And here's some of that where it comes from. Leviticus chapter 27, verses 32 through 34. And in here, in this scripture, it talks about not being changed, not changing this tithe. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. And here's the tenth mentioned here. And for the children of Israel, of course, there. And as he got out, got this from the Lord there on Mount Sinai. And so I just wanted to read that to get us familiar with some of the scriptures, some of the commands that the children of Israel had, for sure. Back there, and you notice they were to tithe. I mean, most of them had cattle, had crops, were farmers, you might say. I know not all of us are farmers nowadays, but here they were to give that the first fruits, right? The first fruits, the tenth of many different things, of really all they had. And then here we notice our scripture in Proverbs to honor the Lord with thy substance. Okay, I'm turning back to Proverbs. Chapter 3 there, and so we talked about how the scripture says there to honor the Lord in that. And I asked the question this morning to us, how do you honor the Lord? How do you honor the Lord? And you know, sometimes we can do that with our words, and that's fine, but do we honor Him with our actions? And I find that a lot of people can promise a lot of things, but if their actions don't back them up, then it's not worth a whole lot. And so Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance, and the reward is there. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so God rewards that, and we recognize that. I have five other verses here in Proverbs as we leaf through Proverbs that I'd like to think about just in quickly as we pass through them that I believe talk about this thing of giving. What is reasonable giving? And it has to do with our attitude, you know, that cheerful heart, that cheerful giver. So Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. I'm going to just turn to that and read some verses here as we go through here, and he says some interesting things. He kind of opens some doors, you might say, as we look at this. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. You feel good about lending to the Lord? I do. I would feel good about lending to the Lord. And here, as we help each other, as we help those in need. Now, it mentions poor here, and I think for us today, it's hard to think about poor people around us. Now, maybe we do. But let's think of those in need. But he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Now, just having pity doesn't do it, but doing something out of your what do you call it? I guess your not your pitifulness, but the feeling of helping, doing something out of that is what we need there. (Clears throat) Next scripture is in chapter 22, verse 9. Proverbs 22, verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. And so I like the challenge of that bountiful eye. And, do you have that bountiful eye? And, there's many things we could say. I like that picture. I think it's a great picture. And here, it's said in a way of God's blessing to it. Proverbs 22, verse 16. So just a little further down. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Now that's, we kind of flip-flopped this, turned it around a little bit, but let's not oppress the poor. You know, sometimes the poor are easy to get their money. Sometimes they're in a hard spot. And so, not saying you can't help them out, but to oppress them and to abuse the situation, the scripture says that we should not do that, to increase his riches. And so you can read that, take from that verse, and apply it to your life as you will. And then the second part of that, giving to the rich, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. And I see this as maybe a bribery thing. Sometimes you want to become a rich person's friend, and so not that they need more money, but somehow we pay our way into that, and so we don't want to do that either. Here, with what the scripture says. Okay, this law of sowing and reaping comes in when we think about tithing, and the scripture. Well, there in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Remember that? And so the law of sowing and reaping is one thing that kicks into this. And I'm not going to say this morning that if we give an X amount of dollars that we'll get this much back. I don't find that in Scripture. There's blessings that aren't because of money. You know what I'm saying? There's blessings there that may not be tied to dollars and cents. And also, the scripture says in Matthew 6, I have it maybe coming up here, to lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, right? How do you do that? How are we laying up treasures in heaven this morning? And so I think that's part of this sowing and reaping and giving with that bountiful eye, if I can say that. Okay, Proverbs 11, I'm backing up just a little bit because it's talking about this this law of sowing and reaping or casting your bread upon the water. That's what Ecclesiastes says. Cast your bread upon the water. Now, you're not feeding ducks or fish, but the idea there is you're helping the poor and it will come back to you sometime. Okay, Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 26. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that which holdeth more than his meat, but it lendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. And so the picture there is of giving and helping those in need. And there is that scattereth, but somehow increaseth. Okay? And what a picture that is. That's the Lord doing that. That's the Lord working and blessing. Does God need your money? I thought of this. Does God need your money? If you want to think of the tithing. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, right? Really, he can make money. God can, Jesus, he had ways of getting money, right? Out of a fish, if he wanted to. God doesn't need our money, but he does need our money, okay? He does use our money. That's the way he has set it up. That's the way he has set it up. It helps us. There's benefits. It's maybe keeping us honoring the Lord. It's maybe helping those around us. Okay. There is that scattereth that yet increaseth. Okay, Proverbs 13, verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Another verse that kind of goes along with that. Sometimes we can work hard. We can put in 80 hours a week, and we can do everything in our might, and it seems like it still won't turn out. And I'm not saying that's because you're ignoring God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just, you ever have that feeling? I have. But notice this verse. When we're working for God, when we're helping those around us, somehow it works out. Okay, I have a scripture in Psalm, and we won't turn to that for time this morning. But Psalm 112, verse 9, it talks about he hath dispersed. And yet, I'm going to turn to that, actually. I want to read that verse. Psalm 112. Interesting, last week's Sunday school class lesson, if you had it out of 2 Corinthians there, the writer of Paul, the writer of Corinthians, quoted this verse out of Psalm. And I found that interesting because I had it in my message. So Psalm 112, verse 9, and this was quoted in that lesson, and in that lesson there was good about giving, and again, about that cheerful giver. Psalm 112, verse 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And so that righteousness enduring forever, he has dispersed and he has given to the poor, or those in need. And his righteousness, it has to be talking about something beyond this earth if it endures forever. And so not only here on this earth, but it's laying up those treasures in heaven. Okay, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Let's go to the second point here, and just let's look at some things in the New Testament. Now, some would say it's not there, and I don't want to strain at anything too hard, okay? You help me as we look at the Scriptures. I believe it was not abolished, okay? But the idea of giving is still there, okay? And so we can think about this. So one of the things that the tithes and offerings did back in the children of Israel is to help the tabernacle or the temple to operate. Well, you have a building here, right? We need to operate, right? We need to keep the lights on. How does that happen? Well, there is that need for some offerings and gifts in that way. Okay. Matthew 22, verse 21. Let's turn to that. And here again, these examples or these things you'll recognize, I'm sure. And but let's just think for a minute about a couple of these things. So Matthew 22, verse 21. Now, the Pharisees thought that they were going to trick. Well, they were always trying to trick Jesus. And so they thought they had something here. Jesus surely won't respect the government around, which was the Romans back there at that time. And so he doesn't regard men. You know, he's no respecter of persons. We know that. But notice they asked him a question here, and I'm just reading verse 21. Let's start reading at verse 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt me? Ye hypocrites, show me the tribute money." And they're asking him about paying tribute or paying those taxes, okay? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny, and he saith unto them, "Whose is the image and superscription?" And they say unto him, "Caesar's." Then saith he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." And so not only did he really say that we should pay our taxes, but he said God has some things that are coming to him also. And he says you should render not only to Caesar, but unto God the things that are God. To me, that sounds like he is also referring to, you know, some tithes and some offerings. He's talking about money, right? He had a piece of money. And so he was saying, render to God what is his there. And that's New Testament. Okay. Mark chapter 12, just a little further back, verses 41 through 44. Mark 12, 41. And so we see here Jesus is sitting there doing some observation, him and his disciples. And they're watching as people put money into the treasury, it mentions there. And I was studying this, you know, back in the Old Testament, there was a time that one of the kings, they set up a box and the people were putting their money, their treasury, into that treasury. And that was for repairing the temple. The temple was in bad repair back then. And so it reminds me of they probably just kept doing it, you know, for different things and that the temple needed there. And so he's watching here, and then that's where we get into this little discussion here that he had with the disciples. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and he saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, he did not tell her that she shouldn't have cast it. Well, he didn't really talk to her, okay? But he didn't tell his disciples she should have kept it, right? And it seems like there was quite a blessing coming to her because she threw in, percentage-wise, right, a lot more than those rich people. And I see this just as pointing to the blessing of giving. And here again, he did not tell her she should have kept it for food or whatever. Not, there's different situations. I'm not trying to say we should cast in all our money this morning. But I am saying that Jesus, he really talked highly of this widow, didn't he? Yeah. And it was, she was casting in, she was giving tithes and offerings. Okay. One more yet, maybe. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And we'll recognize this again, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is preaching here, and he says something about giving alms. And here again, I'm not necessarily this morning tearing apart tithing and alms and offerings and giving and all of that. It's kind of lumped into one here. Notice what he says in Matthew 6, and let's read the first four verses here. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And so as we look at that scripture, Jesus is preaching New Testament times here. And we know the verse, don't let your right hand know what your left hand do it. He did not say we don't need to do it anymore, did he? He just said, be careful. So pride, he gave the example of the Pharisees and those hypocrites, he called them. Be careful for pride. And we all need to be careful for that. He didn't say we shouldn't do them. He didn't say we don't need to do them anymore. But he said, let's just be careful what can happen as we do them. Do them in secret. Yeah. Okay. If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I don't think we will this morning. They were giving an offering. I don't know if you can remember last Sunday's lesson. You know, that's hard for all of us to do. It's hard to remember what the preacher preached last week, right? I find that even hard for me if I preached it sometimes. Hard to remember what I preached, okay? And so last Sunday's lesson, I still go back to that. They were in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. They were giving an offering there, and it was a blessing there, if I remember right. Okay, let's go to closing here. Do I have a responsibility to what is my reasonable service? And I would say to us this morning, as a child of God, that it is a reasonable thing to share and to give. And to help the poor or those in need. That's a reasonable thing. And I want to get right at the end, I want to get to why that might be. And so I would say, yes, it makes common sense to support your local church and to help the missionaries and everything that we do. And I'm not saying this morning again that you're not doing that. This is encouragement to keep on, right? And to help us to do that, to receive the blessing of the Lord. Now, I don't like the thought of doing things just to receive the blessing of the Lord. But sometimes us as people, rewards are big. Not many of us would go to work if we didn't get a reward, right? And I find that very true throughout life. That's kind of how we're built. Jesus, and I've had conversations about this whole thing of how we should serve God. Not because of rewards, but because we love Him. And I agree all the way with that. But Jesus gives us a reward for those who are faithful. Here as they live on this earth, His reward, He says, come live with me in heaven. And I find that is a very inspiring reward, actually. And as we learn to continue to love Him more and more, right? Yeah. Okay. Sometimes we say we don't see any needs around us, right? I don't see nothing that I need to help with or do. And yet, I think of the parable of the Samaritan. Remember that good Samaritan? There was a Levite and a priest, I think, that walked around this man. They may not have seen much to do either. Where are the needs? They were in a hurry. You ever been in a hurry? They were in a hurry, or they didn't want to take the time. They were busy, had places to be, things to do. Okay, enough with that. Okay. There's a couple men, and as we close, that had a meeting with God. Now, a meeting with God in a very special way, almost in form, but a real meeting with God. I think a meeting with God helps us to give. Now, we all know there's a meeting. I think we all would say we know there's a meeting someday that we all meet God face to face, right? Scripture says that. And so there's a couple men that had a meeting with God that we can get out of our scriptures before they died, okay? Before they died. And the first one, and I want to, there's more than just these two, but these two did something special as we talk about tithing and giving. And the first one we'll find in Genesis chapter 28, verse 22. And I would suggest this morning, and I am in need of a meeting with God as much as anybody, okay? But can we, before we're in a meeting with God, can we give? Can we give? Can we honor Him with our substance? Okay, Genesis chapter 28, verse 22, just one verse there, but Jacob is sleeping, and he's out in the wilderness. He's needing to find a place to sleep, and he uses a stone for a pillow, it says here, which did a strange thing, maybe. I don't know if a stone for a pillow is what you look for when you're going to bed, but he did, and he dreamt that this ladder was reaching, we'll recognize this, this ladder was reaching from heaven down to his pillow or where he was. And angels were on this, and I think God was up above there and spoke to him, gave him a wonderful promise, and how God was going to bless him the same way as Abraham and Isaac, his father. And so Jacob is receiving this blessing, and it's a wonderful thing. And then in verse 22, "And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house." And notice what he says after he has met God in this way. And he says, "And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." And this was before Moses. This was before the law. And yet, when he met God, he knew how great God was. He said, "I will give you a tenth of all that I have, all that I will ever get." Now, I don't know if he did that or not, but I suppose he did. And so, like I said, a meeting with God. Now, we all don't have dreams like that. And yet, can we rely enough on God's word to put in motion what we might should as we think about giving back to God, honoring him with our substance? Okay, the second one is in Luke 19, verse 8. And notice this man, he met Jesus face to face. He sure did. And so Luke chapter 19, verse 8, we'll recognize this man. This man is Zacchaeus. And we'll also recognize what he did. But I will say, because he met Jesus, out of that came his want to give. And he did. Luke 19, verse 8. I'll just read it, verse. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And notice what a meeting with Jesus did to Zacchaeus. He said, "I'll give half of my goods." Now, he may have been rich. I believe he was. He was rich. Which, is it easier for rich men to give half their stuff away? I should say not. Remember, Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Now, he's not saying it's impossible, but he says that's a hard thing for him to do. And we know that rich young ruler turned away from Jesus. He could not do it, right? He could not give his stuff to the poor. Can we help those around us? But when we have a meeting with God, I think we'll help to understand and help us to do that. And so there's a challenge before us, and it's your reasonable service. Now, why might it be your reasonable service? Well, I think one of the things that happened with these two men, and that is they understood and seen who God really was. And you know what? Our reasonable service, one of the things that comes is when we realize who God is. He's the creator of the universe. It's his. And we're only here as stewards to take care of his things. And so when we meet him, when we realize who he is, it'll help us to do this as our reasonable service. And then the second thing I think of is the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us, that redemption. We're all going to go to hell because of sin, and yet he redeemed us. He paid the price for our sins. And as we think of that, it becomes our reasonable service to honor him with our substance and with our first fruits. The best. And so a challenge for us this morning, and to be a blessing to those poor, those in need, and the church, and then to just look forward to God's blessing to us. Okay. Thank you for coming, and I was told just to dismiss, so let's all stand for closing prayer. I don't know if you have a song afterwards or not. If you do, we'll do that. If not, you'll be dismissed. Those who can, to stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today and how your word is alive and is true. And Lord, your heart, as we seek to who you are, how you care for the poor and the needy, the fatherless and the widows. You have a special heart towards them. And Lord, I know there's even those here this morning that fall in that category. And Lord, we do want to be your hands and your feet to help them. Lord, your word says that we should honor you with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. And so, Lord, I believe that applies to us today because it helps us to remember who you are. It helps us to honor you. And Lord, we do want to do that this morning. We thank you so much for the price that your Son, the Lord Jesus, paid on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we don't even realize how great that gift of salvation is, even today, I don't believe. But someday in eternity, we will. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, help us as we think about your words and as we endeavor to do what we can to honor you. Bless each one that is here today. You know each of us. You know our hearts. You know what our desires are and for our requests to you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just speak those things to each of us as we would have need of. And we thank you for who you are and how great you are. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, do you have a song here? Where's Danny?